Welcome to the IBM Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Drinks and Destinations Podcast.
Hi and welcome to the Drinks and Destinations Podcast. I'm your host Rujita and my co-host is Samira. Say hi, Samira.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Samira. So before we start our episode today, I have to show you something. A music video and you have to tell me where this was shot, okay?
All right.
Okay, I'm going to play it.
Rajita, that is the mariachi band and Mexico. I mean, you know,
yes,
I don't think
right.
I get too many brownie points for guessing that with the hats and the horses. And obviously, mariachi band is so famous. So no prizes for guessing today, right? What we are talking about.
Yes, it's going to be Mexico today. Viva la Mexico. So you know how far is Mexico?
How far is it?
I spent 25 hours to reach there, by the way.
So oh my God.
From Bombay to Frankfurt. Frankfurt to Mexico City. But there was a break of 4 or 5 hours in Frankfurt airport. But 25 hours was a very long time to travel by air. And I reached there completely jet-lagged, confused and tired. But those 15 days that I spent in the magical land of Mexico, I think I'm going to never forget that.
Well, I really want to know what all went down over there. In fact, you know, I'm sure you have very interesting stories. But talking about travel, now you took off on a journey.
Yeah.
And mostly whenever we talk about travel, there are always interesting stories about the good places, the good food.
True.
But I think what really makes a travel interesting is sometimes the bad stories.
Yeah.
And, you know, the unexpected things that happen during the travel is what really makes it an adventure.
Yeah.
And I know you have one.
Like, yes, you have
quite a few experiences. So about the immigration, you got detained. I know that much.
Yes, I know.
So you're going to tell us about that and many more things, right?
Yeah, exactly. So before we start talking about Mexico, I want to share something with you and the listeners.
Okay.
I had a number of first experiences of my life in Mexico.
Okay.
So my first ever detention by immigration officers abroad happened there. My first ever tasting of worm and grasshopper, roasted ones, that happened there in Mexico. The first ever experience of buying food and barbecuing or grilling it on my own in a, you know, in a marketplace and then eating it there. That was the first time.
Wow.
My first ever experience of drinking cocoa with hot water and not milk.
I have to tell our listeners over here that you offered it to me as
I made it for you
at your house.
Home.
Yeah, when we were working on something. And I was so shocked. I was expecting like a nice, rich, creamy glass of hot chocolate. But this was hot chocolate and water.
With water. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Then my first ever experience of witnessing death being celebrated in a culture so beautifully, which is really something wonderful to see. Then first experience of listening to the mariachi bands live performing in different places across Mexico. Then the first ever trip abroad that actually made me feel like home. The culture of India and Mexico are so different, but we have so many similarities that I felt like I was at home.
You know what? I've heard that a lot. Like, a lot of people who have gone to Mexico are like, in fact, some have even gone on to say it has a very Mumbai feel as well. You know,
yes,
the culture.
Yes, a little bit like
and,
that.
Yeah, how crowded it is. And along with that, how they live, they eat, their families. And somewhat, it's a little unsafe also, right? It's very
unsafe because, and thankfully I was with my friends and people that I know, so they had already told us where to go to, where to not go, and the play areas which are safe for tourists, and so that was quite all right. But it's always makes sense if you're going to a foreign land, then you may do some research and know which are the places that foreigners should not be venturing into, because it's, sometimes the experience could be not so pleasant.
Yeah, definitely. But you guys don't have anything to worry about. We are going to give you like a full guide about what to see and what to do in Mexico.
Yes.
And, you know, the land of culture, a lot of food, a lot of interesting spirits that we are talking, going to talk about, a lot of interesting cities to visit, but all that. And Rujita, you're going to give us first-hand, little personalized information, all that when we get back from the break, right? So should we take a break?
Yes, let's go on a break. And when we come back, we talk more about Mexico.
Hey guys, this is Malika Singhania, co-founder of the blog Stylogram, where we cover trends, fashion forecasts, celebrity style, tips and tricks, and lots more cool stuff. We are launching a new podcast called The Stylogram Show, where I will be speaking to celebrities, designers, models, store owners, and fashionistas. Our first show covers Lakme Fashion Week, where I caught up with some of my super cool designer buddies. So get ready to get your weekly dose of style with me, Malika, on my show, Stylogram. Follow me on Facebook at Stylogram Official and Instagram at Stylogram_Official to hear the latest on style and fashion.
Welcome back. And before we went on the break, we were talking about the land of Mexico, where Rojita recently was. And everybody has a different reason to travel and looks out for different things when they're traveling, Rojita. What were you doing in Mexico?
Yeah, because you have to travel for 25 hours. Obviously, yeah. It has to be for some big exactly. reason. Either you have to be an avid traveler and you're actually looking at exploring some new land, or you have to be there for work. Mm-hmm. So basically, I was there for work. Mm-hmm. I was invited to be on the panel of a spirits competition called Spirit Selection, which mm-hmm. was taking place in Tequila City in Mexico. And so before...
Yes, once again, I just want to clarify, Tequila is also a city, not yes. just the shots that we do.
True, exactly. So Tequila yeah. comes from a city called Tequila in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And so I was supposed to be there. And before that trip, actually one of my friend who is also a wine and spirits writer and who also works with the mezcal and tequila industry very closely, he had organized a trip, separate trip for a couple of journalists to visit Oaxaca.
Okay.
And explore the land of mezcal. So, so basically my trip, which was supposed to be of 7 days, it got extended to 15 days. And
really?
That's how I managed to spend so much time in Mexico.
So it wasn't really a work trip now, Rojita, was it?
Work come fun. Yes. Exactly. So that's how I was there in Mexico.
Okay.
So there are way too many things that you could actually do in Mexico City. I spent 2 days in the city itself. Like you can take a day trip to the pyramids, the mm-hmm. old Teotihuacan pyramid with an archaeologist. Okay. You can hire an archaeologist from the city and
wow.
who could go along with you and explain you in detail. And so basically the pyramids have, Aztec cities in Mexico, which was home to nearly 2 lakh people from several ancient cultures. So they have a setup there, and then you could visit the UNESCO World Heritage Site and gain some insight into the plazas and murals, which is very famous in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And you could end your day with the tasting of mezcal and tequila mm-hmm. in one of the factories there. Or if you don't have too much time to take a tour around the city mm-hmm. or out in the outskirts of the city, what you can do is you can spend some time in the city, like what I did. Mm-hmm. You start your day by visiting the local markets, meat and, food, the food markets there. And there's one market called the Mercado de San Juan, which opens at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
And that has all kinds of food items, colorful spices, and you can see roasted worms and grasshoppers,
wow.
and you can see turkey, bird, and beef, ham, every kind of meat that you can find anywhere in the world, you will find that in the market.
And I feel it's these markets, like whenever you go and whenever we are even talking about traveling, is the markets which actually give you a real sense of the
city place, exactly.
and of the place,
and that actually gives you a peek into the gastronomic culture of any particular
right.
place, and especially in this case it was Mexico. But I would say this is not a right place for a vegetarian, especially the meat market, because I don't think you can take it, because after certain
even
point
for non-vegetarians, I mean, you're talking worms and grasshoppers here, which even
yeah.
me being like I'm
yeah.
an absolute lover of non-vegetarian different kinds of meats, but to
so it'll
you
take some
amount
time
of,
to actually
yeah, how was it for you? Did you warm up to it immediately
yeah,
or
had,
you
had
your
a
reservations
who was very adventurous, and
okay.
he was like, no, Rojita, you have to try that one. Mm. You have to try this one. If you're in Mexico, if you don't try it, then what's the point?
Right.
And I knew that I also had to try mezcal later on, and mezcal.
Yeah.
Some mezcals do have worm in
yes,
them.
Yes, and we're going to talk about that later. I'm
later
so
on.
Curious
yeah.
to know about that.
So the gusano de magay, mm-hmm. which is a part of some of the mezcals which have those worms. So I had tried the roasted worm from mm. there. I mean, the taste was a little.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know if it's a psychological thing that you're having a drink with like a worm in it, or yeah. is it actually the whole that squirmy feeling? Like I would be very squirmish before doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, if I don't see that, maybe I could still eat it, because
yeah.
when the moment you see it, then you have that feeling. But it wasn't so bad. I mean, it was all right. So the next stop could be for lunch at Cafe di Tacuba. And I just love the ambience at that place. This place is located in the historic center of Mexico City, a few blocks from the Plaza de la Constitución, which means the constitution of Mexico, the country. It's one of the most traditional dining venues of the historic center. This was founded in 1912 in an old house, Tacuba Street, with a system based on classic dishes of Mexican cuisine menu. So a bottle of cerveza, which I had from Negro Modelo, and some delicious authentic Mexican food in Tacuba will just set you for the entire day.
In fact, I've heard like this is one cafe that has to be on your list going. Yeah, it just has to be there. In fact, I read about it so much also because if I ever am going to Mexico, I would definitely have it on my list as well. And you know, one very interesting fact I found out about this cafe, that it's in a beautiful building, right, with a lot of history.
Yeah.
And it was once set to be a mental hospital.
Wow. I mean, I'm
sure that's way back in time, but yes, and I think that also makes it so intriguing. And
right now, it doesn't look like a place.
I'm sure, not at all.
It's so beautiful.
And talking
so
about
nice.
The food, like it's famous for its garlic soup, the flan, and the churros, which, you know, half of Mexico is for as well. And they're really also very popular for their traditional breakfast dish, which features, you know, it's a little different from the regular European breakfast that we have all over the world. It has lightly fried corn tortillas cut into quarters and topped with green and red salsa. And then there's scramble of fried eggs and pulled chicken. And usually, you know, with some cheese and cream. Sounds delicious.
Absolutely. So after that hearty lunch, you know, I would suggest that you take a walk around the city center.
Okay.
And on the way to the Cafe Tacuba, actually, you can stop at the Museo Biblioteca Palacio Postal. Remember, I showed you a picture of a post office where there was these golden staircase and everything was so gold and blingy and beautiful, majestic. So this Museum of Postal Services is a grand palace with golden staircases and beautiful architecture. It showcases some collections of beautiful rare stamps as well. So that's something you could take a break before you go to the lunch place at Tacuba. And after lunch, you could head to the city center to take a tour of the massive city square called the Zocalo. Zocalo. So it's Mexico's main city square, and it's also referred as La Plaza de la Constitución, which is like one of the biggest squares in the world. 57,600 square meters, and it has placed among the largest squares on earth. And not only is this square so spectacular for its immensity, but it's also a place for much historic importance. And but nowadays, you know, there are a lot of, it's a main tourist attraction. You have a lot of Aztec dance and music performance, and sometimes protests as well. You see these kind of riots and protests, whatever happens, it just all, everything happens there in that city center. Around the square are all the important places like Metropolitan Cathedral, which is just next to the square. Templo Mayor, that is an archaeological site, and during the era of Aztecs was the central temple, marking the center of the universe. So that's a beautiful place to visit. Then there is Plaza Garibaldi, which is one of the most visited squares in the city. You can visit the traditional restaurants or, you know, buy a drink in one of the bars. And
this is probably the square where you would find me.
It is a beautiful place to be. And then obviously like you also find the mariachi bands there performing everywhere, and you can just listen to
the folk
songs.
Is that where the video was from, which you showed me in the beginning?
No, no, this was in Tequila City. So in one of the tequila houses that we visited.
Oh, nice.
So the band was performing there, so this recording was from there.
Oh, nice.
And so you'll find all that, and of course you can't miss the Museo Mural Diego Rivera. This is such a beautiful museum. Once you walk in, you just see the murals everywhere on the wall, and that depicts the life of Mexico, what it was years back when the Aztec and Mayan civilization was there, and when the Spanish invasion happened to the country, and how everything changed. It all have found a place in that, you know, museum.
Yeah, apparently it has like this 15 meter long mural, you know, painted in 1947.
I saw that.
And it's very interesting. I saw it too. Like there's a woman in a skeleton and there are people around her. It's very intriguing. You don't expect to see such things. Yeah. So what was your reaction when you saw it?
So when I saw that, it was something, something that I had never seen before. Mm-hmm. And it was very interesting to see the way life was depicted, how this entire evolution happened over the years of time, and how one invasion, Spanish invasion, could mm-hmm. make so much of change in the indigenous population, which was all living in Mexico 1,000 years back.
Right.
And we all know that Mexico has a lot to offer to the history and culture of the entire human civilization.
Definitely.
So yeah, that was quite interesting to spend some time there. So if you have more time, there's a lot to do in Mexico, but I had a packed schedule and I had to explore the culture of the indigenous population and the rare side of Mexico. And so I decided to head to the city of Oaxaca.
All right, so you know, there are so many things which we have touched upon, and I think we need to go into the details of that. Oaxaca City, you
yes.
know, definitely should be on everybody's list. Mezcal, you spoke about, the worms which you're eating and are in your drink. We are going to, and Tequila City, of course.
Yes,
we have to discover
on.
That as well. But before we do that, we are going to go on a short break and be right back quick.
It was rated Goregaon's most intelligent podcast. It was the best new podcast of the day when it was launched. And now, the irreverent brand of attempted humor and botched education is coming your way. You have many burning questions.
So what is the Brexit? What do mathematicians do, man? I mean...
Introducing Simplified, a weekly podcast that deconstructs issues around you, such as, what on earth is Bitcoin?
So Bitcoin is just an other currency like the rupee or dollar. The difference here is it's a virtual currency.
Do resolutions and cameras really matter?
They think that just because a number is higher, what they're getting is actually more.
And encryption.
So encryption, okay, it's a process of encoding messages in such a fashion that only the intended recipient sees it in its intended format.
Hosted by Narendra Shanoy, a very wise man who can't stop making B.G. Woodhouse references. And Deepak Gopalakrishnan, who calls himself Chuck, a madman who can't stop making poor jokes.
Narendra, what do you call a forest where you find all the latest news?
I don't have a good feeling about that.
A topical rainforest.
Follow Chuck and Arain as they scour Google and read Wikipedia for you and condense it into language you can understand. Simplified, helping you appear smarter to an audience that knows no different.
Welcome back from the break, and we are going to go dive right into Oaxaca City, which I think is one of the most captivating cities of Mexico if we talk about, and you get a great combination of culture and culinary, and along with that, it's very famous for its artists and artisans and its food. So all these things make a great combination, and you were there and you
yeah.
saw it and you witnessed it. So what were your highlights of Oaxaca?
So Oaxaca is like 300 miles to the south of Mexico City.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment, if you want to go to Oaxaca, the only way you can go there is by flight, because the road is, the highway is blocked by some protests that going on for years now.
Ooh.
The teachers have been protesting against a law which is passed by the government saying that it's a very funny story, actually, something which we've never heard of.
Okay.
Apparently, in Mexico, the teachers, they have, you know, the job of a teacher can be basically transferred from one generation to another generation in the families,
mm-hmm.
and they don't really require an education qualification to be a teacher.
Oh.
But a couple of years back, the government passed a rule saying that now you have to appear for exams and have some qualifications to actually become a teacher. So the teachers who were existing, mm-hmm. they started protesting against the law, and then that took an ugly turn, and then there were a lot of protests happening all across the country, and apparently Oaxaca City was blocked, so there was no access by road. So, you know, you basically have to take a flight if you're going to Oaxaca now.
And there's one more really important thing before we talk about it in detail that I have to say, that given the reputation Mexico has, it remains one of the safest states in Mexico,
yes,
Oaxaca.
That's
and
true.
In fact, even President Obama allowed his daughter Malia to visit during spring break, ignoring all the rumors there are and warnings about travel. So that
yeah.
kind of like restored everybody's faith in the city as well.
Yeah, and once you reach the state, I mm-hmm. think it's you are absolutely fine. It's beautiful, really nice. The city was founded in 1529, but the area has been inhabited since prehistoric times. So some of the earliest known evidence of domesticated plants in America actually came from the Valley of Oaxaca.
Okay.
And Monte Alban archaeological site is located on a spectacular mountaintop, which is 16 kilometers west of Oaxaca city. And it was the capital of the Zapotec civilization. Zapotec civilization is the culture that was that belongs to the Oaxaca state area, and they lived there from 500 BC to 800 AD. So that's a little bit of history about the place. Mm-hmm. So other important places to visit in Oaxaca would be your Jervé El Agua, the petrified waterfalls, which is really pretty. I've been there and I've seen it. It's beautiful. So the story behind the waterfalls is that in Spanish, Jervé means to boil.
Okay.
But which means, like, no, you might think that it's a waterfall with a boiling hot water spring, but there is a difference.
Okay.
So the thing is, this one appears quite frozen from distance. So you see
the waterfall.
These, yeah, it looks like frozen water cascading down to the side cliffs of the valley.
Okay.
And later I found out that basically it's a mineral water that was pushed through karstic limestone and depositing the falls into the mountain's edge. So while the waterfalls are white, two mineral pools sit side by side on the edge of the cliff. And these are full of calcium carbonate, magnesium, and just enough sulfur to lend them a yellow hue. So that looks beautiful, actually, when you see it from distance.
Yeah, it must look like a glowing little lake or something.
Yeah, and you see like a waterfall which is frozen, and but it's not, actually.
Yeah.
And
it's like fire when it goes down.
and you see the water bubbling out from the earth, and then you know they have these small swimming pool kind of setup on the cliff of the mountain, and so it makes it much easier for people to even swim there, because the temperature is never above 25-26 degrees.
I would consider this a must visit. Just by the way you're describing it, it just sounds phenomenal.
It is a beautiful place. And the other thing that you could do in Oaxaca is the handicrafts shopping. Remember I showed you something
you
at
did,
home?
You did, and they're so pretty. So these are basically these wooden little
carvings, yeah,
and such precision they have painted on them, and such beautiful detail. And I saw some like small ones in your house. You told me the big ones are very, very expensive.
Expensive, in fact. It could be like, you know, some $100,000 to $200,000 sometimes.
My God.
So they're quite expensive. The region actually produces some finest handicrafts, and two of the most unique and sought after items are the black clay pottery, and the second one is the colorful painted animal carvings that I have one piece of. It's called alebrijes. So black clay, or the barro negro, is a traditional Zapotec method of making pottery. The clay is molded and spun by hand without the use of modern tools, and then polished, something like what we have in India, but it's the black clay that they work on.
Okay.
And that reminded me of India quite a lot when I saw all that.
It did have a bit of that feel.
Yeah. And in the town of San Bartolo, just 12 kilometers southeast of Oaxaca city, you can visit family owned workshops where the traditions of barro negro have been passed down from generation to generation. So you can actually see how the work is done and visit these families and, you know, talk to them, and they'll explain. Very nice people. They are always welcoming guests, and they like to talk about all that.
Wow.
And then the Mexican folk art called alebrijes, the small animal figurines that are hand carved from the wood of the copal tree, intricately painted by hand. So all the work that you see, they're all done by hand, which makes it like much more special and expensive too. And they use the natural dyes such as pomegranate and corn fungus, and, you know, ingredient you may not be familiar with until you go to the city of Mexico or these regions and find it out. And the best part is all these animals that you see, the figurines, they're imaginary, or, you know, they're more of fantasy than real. You won't see these kind of animals around you. I mean, and that's the reason they call it the alebrijes.
Right.
So it's really beautiful and nice. And one of the best places in Oaxaca where you can experience the art of alebrije making is the village of San Martin and Telcae. So, which is located 23 kilometers outside the city, and is one of the just three small towns and villages in the region where the residents earn their living almost exclusively from the production of these things. I have been to one of the villages, and that was Very interesting to see that. And very, very expensive stuff they had there.
So for anyone who's looking to take back good gifts and is fond of handicrafts or wants to take something good, I think this is a great suggestion. Yeah. And if you want to decorate your house like you have with these beautiful little creatures, I would say go ahead, pick them out. You said the smaller ones are not so expensive.
Yeah, smaller ones
right?
So won't be so expensive.
So for tourists who are out there, can definitely go ahead and do that. And Oaxaca, well, we're talking about Mexico and we are not talking about Mexican food. So, you know, I think that's one of the things which you can do in Oaxaca as well. Now, whenever we talk about Mexican food, we were talking about similarities with India. So, like, so I took my mother to the Mexican restaurant. She's like, oh, they're serving rajma chawal. So, definitely,
beans and,
exactly. Yeah. So, beans and the Mexican rice is, again, very popular over there. You'll find it in various things, which I would say is a similar culture to India. Apart from that, you have tacos, nachos, quesadillas, burritos. And they're absolutely delicious because Mexican food has taken liking world over. One more thing, which is my personal favorite, very popular, and which I've tried to make at home and I do a pretty good job at it, is the guacamole, which adds a different freshness to all the foods that you have over there. And it's undoubtedly one of Mexico's most popular dishes. But a few know that this traditional sauce dates back to the time of the Aztecs. It's made from mashed up avocados, onion, tomatoes, lemon juice and chili peppers, and it goes very well with the tortilla chips and the side dishes, right?
Absolutely. And I loved it so much. For all 15 days I only ate guacamole wherever I went, and it's so delicious. You could, you know, the problem is because we are not used to having avocado so much in India, we don't realize that it could actually taste so good if it's prepared well, like, you know.
And it's so it healthy. It has so many health benefits, and it goes, it complements, it goes well with the meat. So it's yum. Lunchtime again.
Yes, true. So yes, when we're talking about food and everything else, Oaxaca also has a very good dish called mole.
Right.
So the chicken mole, which is made from, you know, corn and everything. So we'll talk about the food of Oaxaca a little later. But yes, before that, I have to talk about the best thing from Oaxaca, mezcal.
Yes, we all are waiting with bated breath to hear about mezcal.
Yes. So mezcal, as we know, is an artisanal drink that comes from Mexico. Few states in Mexico have the authority to actually produce mezcal. And it's 100% agave, the plant that is mezcal made from. Mezcal means oven-cooked agave, and it can be made from different types of agave plants. There are five kinds. One is espadín, tabola, tobaiche, and tepezate, and araquino.
Okay.
So espadín is the one which is widely grown, that accounts for 90% of the mezcal production. And the taste of each bottle may vary from producer to producer. The agave plant, which looks quite a lot like our kind of plants that we see in India as well, in Hyderabad, in some parts of southern India, we have a little bit of agave plants. I'm not too sure if all of them are blue agave. Some of them are, but then we have a little bit of agave in India as well. It takes 4 to 6 years to grow, and before it's being harvested. Then tobola is a rare variety that is harvested largely from the wild agaves.
Okay.
So wild agaves actually add a lot of different flavors to your mezcal when they are produced from tobola. They are found mostly in higher altitudes and rough and stony soil. And this mezcal demands a high price and presents more complex and fruity characteristics. Then tobaiche has different names and characteristics in different parts of the region that produces mezcal. And this is also often harvested from wild agaves. And so is tepezate, the last one. Araquino means agave americana, which is also a rare kind. But mostly mezcal is made from espadín.
Okay.
But now, obviously, there is a question that how exactly is mezcal made?
Yes.
So, you know, what happened is, by invitation, I visited this mezcal producer's house called Mezcal Oro de Oaxaca, their plantation and the distillery, to understand how exactly an artisanal mezcal is made. Because there are a lot of wrong notions about mezcal, and people think that all mezcals have worm in them.
Yes, we're going to talk about that. That's the biggest myth
Which is
that
not true.
Is there.
So to break that myth, I'm going to just talk about how mezcal is made.
Okay.
So there are very simple steps which are followed in making the artisanal mezcal. When you're making a mezcal which has no worm or no meat protein or anything in it, it's called a mezcal joven, which has nothing added. It's a pure mezcal agave spirit. Mm-hmm. When you have a little bit of, when you have worm in it, it's called mezcal de gusano. Mm-hmm. And when you have the turkey breast in the making of the mezcal, then it's called mezcal de pechuga.
Okay.
So the agave plant's pinea, which is the heart of the agave, is removed and then cut after it's reached the required maturity, like 4 to 5 years, or depending on 30 years, depending on the years. Like tepestate has to reach its maturity in 30 years. So some of these plants, they could be taller than, you know, big 6 feet or 7 feet height.
Okay.
So once they reach that, the heart is cut from it, and then they're roasted in earthen pit ovens.
And I think that's where it gets its smoky,
the earthy smokiness that comes from the, you
know,
earthen.
Because mezcal is always pitted against tequila. Whenever, you know, mezcal is spoken about, is mezcal versus tequila, and they say that's one big difference that you would probably tell in a mezcal is that earthy and that smoked flavor, which is also liked for
which is appreciated quite a lot actually. So the roasted heart is then taken out from the pit and crushed into small pieces with stone crushers. They're called tahonas. And the crush is then fermented in open vats, and the liquid is next distilled at least twice in clay or copper stills. So the more traditional clay vessels give that earthier flavor more, and they add to it. The copper stills, which the Spanish brought to the region, earlier when the Aztec culture was making mezcal, they didn't have that. But the Spanish, actually, they brought in the copper stills to production and, you know, the distillation part, are more durable and less expensive. So that's the reason they started using copper still. But for mezcal de pechuga, the mezcalero or the mezcal producer, he has to perform a third distillation where the vapor from the boiling liquid infuses with a given protein, like a turkey or a chicken breast, that gives the spirit a fuller body to make it more like complex and sweeter and mellow down the agave smoky earthy roasted flavors that you have. So this is different kinds of mezcal that are produced in different formats. There are some people who add fruits, herbs, nuts, spices, and all these things. So mezcal de gusano, which contains one or more larva from the Hypopta agavis, which is kind of a moth, that's only happens in couple of mezcal. So it's not necessary that all mezcal would have worms.
Yes, so we are breaking that biggest myth about mezcal, that all mezcal has worms in it. Well, that's not the case. Only the traditional style mezcals, which you're talking about, with the label on the bottle saying mezcal de gusano. So that one, I know if I'm picking that up, that one has a worm in it. I should be ready for that. Otherwise, like a joven mezcal is the purest form of mezcal without any added flavors of wood or worm. So that, you know, you would say that that's the purest form. And both are produced in the different states of Mexico. That's tequila and mezcal, right?
Yeah, that's true. And by law, tequila can only be made with one variety of agave. That's the blue agave.
Right.
But mezcal can be made with more than 30 varieties of agave, and out of which only 5 we discussed some time back. And mezcal is distilled at around 45 to 75 degree ABV. But usually sold at 38 to 45 degree ABV.
I also read somewhere that it has like some psychedelic properties. Would you say that could be true? Like, is it that?
Like absinthe, you mean? Hallucinations and
little
everything.
Little bit. Would you say it's that strong?
But I know one thing, that it makes you very happy. Because I experienced that myself. Yeah. The entire group of my friends, wherever we went to visit these, you know, mezcal area, the distilleries. Yeah. After every trip, when we were drunk on mezcal, everybody was like very happy.
Good.
High.
It's not one of those spirits. It makes you sit in one corner, cry, or make you reflect on your life. So definitely you would say this is a happy spirit. And by now, I'm sure everybody knows that nobody who's going to Mexico is not missing out on mezcal. And we have given you enough information about it to know how amazing it actually is.
So now we've understood a bit of Oaxacan culture and its drinks and... so Samira, what about food? Oaxacan food, basically. You spoke about Mexican food. So now it's time to talk about Oaxacan food.
Well,
do you know about moles? As I said,
it's some interesting, delicious dish. I know that much.
Yes, so it's basically the southern Mexican state's corn is the staple food.
I was just going to say that. No prize for guessing. I'm sure it has corn in it.
Yes, so corn is produced quite, it's everywhere basically. And it's a creative variations with corn dough that are found all over Mexico. Mm-hmm. So entomatas or empanadas de mole amarillo. In the central valleys to the exotic iguana tamales. I have tried tamales as well. And all these things and tortillas and known as blandas. These names are a little difficult to pronounce for us. But yeah, they're very delicious to eat. And the integral part of their everyday meal. Most of them are made from your corn. So mole is one of those dishes where chicken or any other meat can be used to prepare it. It's quite interesting and something very different to try.
Definitely. And you know, these, they have so much of vegetables and a bit of beans, even the tortilla soup. Like a lot of people, if you choose to even be vegetarian and try out Mexican food, I feel that is a bit of a possibility. It's not so meat driven. And I think that's why Mexican food is taking so much popularity all over the world. I think that's one of the reasons, because a lot of people are turning vegetarians. And this is some food which is rich in its sauces and it, like the avocados and the beans, which gives you enough protein and great taste.
Absolutely. So we can't be in Mexico and not talk about tequila, right?
The
so
after, city, right?
Yeah, so tequila city and tequila as a drink.
Right.
So it's let's go on a break, and when we come back, we talk about one of your favorite drinks, tequila.
Mm-hmm. Let's do that.
Hi, I'm Tejas.
Hi, I'm Jishnu, and we are the nerds from Geek Fruit. If you're a nerd, this is exactly the kind of show you didn't even know you were looking for.
And if you don't believe us, you can check out Geek Fruit exclusively on Saavn.
May the force be with you.
You nerds.
Welcome back, and now we're going to talk about Tequila City, my favorite already. The city has become my favorite already just because of the drink. Well, yes, it's not just a drink, it's a city, and this is located in the valley of dormant volcano 56 kilometers northwest of Guadalajara in the state of Jalisco. And the small town of Tequila is surrounded by thousands of acres of carefully cultivated blue agave fields, right? Yes. Which looks beautiful. And the blue agave is distilled to produce the world famous alcoholic beverage of tequila. So that's why the name of the city, and that's where you get your tequila from. And officially, Rajita, only the blue agave can be used to make tequila.
Yes.
As we discussed,
yes,
right?
That's true. So, yes, Tequila City is very beautiful. It just feels like you are in the Disneyland of tequila, basically. The moment you land there, all you see is these beautiful haciendas, you know, the all the tequila brands that you see around you, they have their... they have their shops across you, everywhere, the houses and the distilleries, and it's so beautiful. It for a second, it felt surreal to me because I'm standing in front of the Tequila Street, one of the streets of Tequila City, and I'm looking at Jose Corvo's house in front of me, or you know, maybe any other tequila brand with a big name, with the, you know, same kind of feel and expressions from the cowboy hats and you know, those typical feeling of being in Mexico. That's just the place to be.
You know, they say you go to Paris and you feel love is in the air. I feel you go to Tequila City and you feel drunk is in the air.
Like, you know, you just get drunk by being there.
Exactly. You don't even have to.
It's fun.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are basic steps that tequila is produced on. So, we can discuss those few steps.
Sure.
First is the harvest of blue agave. Mm-hmm. And then cooking of the agave. Then fermentation, distillations, aging and bottling. These are the basic process for the spirits
how to produce.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the consorcio regulator, the tequila... the consortium, what they do is they actually control, they have set a guideline to make tequila, and they're followed with maximum quality, regulates every step of the production, and each distillery has its own source of agave. Mm-hmm. They have a different process. They don't share the details with each other because they're very secretive about it. Obviously, they don't want the competitor to know too much. And the quality control and techniques, they all affect the tequila's taste. During cooking, traditional brick ovens or stainless steel autoclaves are used to activate a chemical process within the piña, the heart of the agave that we discussed earlier, that converts complex carbohydrates into simple fermentable sugar. So that's during the cooking process. Aging is very important in case of tequila because almost all containers used in tequila aging are French or American white oak barrels. Mm-hmm. And they have previously been used to age bourbon.
Oh, so it's kind
so,
of...
Yeah. So basically it's a second-hand barrel that is used for aging tequila. You have different varieties of tequila. One of them is a Reposado. Mm-hmm. Reposado tequila is... When you see that Reposado what mentioned on a bottle of tequila, you know that it's been aged between 2 to 12 months. Añejo are the ones which are aged between 1 to 3 years. Extra Añejo are aged for over 3 years. They're very expensive ones.
So again, the tequila, I think the same wine rule applies. Like the longer they're aged, the more premium and better they are.
Yeah, better they are. So, okay. You know, some of the tequila which are aged for like really long period of time, they're expensive as well. The longer the tequila ages, obviously the color and tannin, it all adds up to the liquid. And the condition of the barrels, such as their age, previous use, and if the interiors have been burnt or toasted, all that would also affect the taste of your tequila. Mm-hmm. So I visited Jose Corvo and Hacienda Herradura Patron Tequila House, which was beautiful because Patron is some 2 hours drive from Tequila City.
Okay.
2 or 3 hours drive from Tequila City. And the best part is Patron had organized a big luxury bus for all of us.
What fun.
To travel, and it had everything in the bus, Wi-Fi to coffee, and you know, you're traveling luxury and tequila, of course. Yeah.
And one more thing I have to mention over here, we're talking about tequila, and as we say it, and immediately comes to my mind and mostly other people's mind, is the shots, glasses, that, you know, tequila shooters.
Yeah.
But that's not the case. We're talking about tequila here, which is actually sipped.
So in the city of tequila, there's a beautiful, not exactly beautiful, but it's like a...
not so pretty.
Small. Yeah, no, it's like a regular bar, you know, the place called La Capilla, Cantina Don Javier. Mm-hmm. And you have to go there and try this cocktail called Batanga.
Oh, I've heard about this. Heard about... What is it? There's a lot of...
It's very
popular.
Yeah. La Capilla, which literally means the chapel, is the home of Batanga.
Okay.
And a simple drink created in the 1950s by Don Javier Delgado Corona, the bar's owner, whose photograph is still there on the wall when I visited.
Oh, really?
I saw
there.
And now, well into his 90s, Don Javier can still be convinced to get behind the bar to make a drink or two.
That's
for tequila pilgrims,
energy.
By the way. I told you, remember, that it's like a Disneyland for all tequila and cocktail fans. So that's a beautiful place. So.
Batanga is a fairly simple drink here.
It's very simple. Yeah. It's nothing difficult, and you can make it at home, in fact. Mm-hmm. But provided it tastes like the Batanga from La Capilla. So it's tequila, coke, fresh lime juice served in a tall glass with a salted rim.
But Easy peasy.
Yeah, but,
but
inside La Capilla's walls, it takes on an almost magical quality. So you have to be in that place to enjoy Batanga. I have tried to make the drink at home many times, but Don Javier's styles cannot be replicated. So, you know, what happens is, the best part is, you have to use a big knife to stir your drink.
Yeah.
And he usually uses that knife to stir cocktails, chop up avocados, guacamole, and chilies for his homemade hot sauce, and everything else that he would be using it for. So basically, the knife also adds a lot of character to the Batanga drink.
Exactly. It's a simple drink, but I think there's so much story that goes around it, and very few times would you hear that you get to stir or mix your drink with a big knife. Like, nobody understands that concept.
Yeah.
But I guess it's just that flavors kind of break down and
churn
in better in there. Like, we all can only take a wild guess over here. So it sounds very interesting. So we spoke about Batanga, and we spoke about how amazing the city of tequila is. And for people who are going to Mexico, if you want to explore other cities, now, Rajita, you didn't have kind of time.
Yeah, I didn't have too much time after 15 days, of course.
And so, you're gone for work. Let's not forget that.
Yes, I know.
So the other places which you could have and which I would definitely want to visit is Tulum. I've heard that's gorgeous. There's Cancun, Los Cabos, Puerto Vallarta. Puerto Vallarta. That's another thing I've to work on my accents and pronunciations before I get to Mexico. Mazatlan, Acapulco, and all these interesting places.
And Guadalajara is also a beautiful place
which we spoke about.
Yeah. Spend some days in.
So these can definitely be on the list, right?
Absolutely. So, you know, Mexico might have its own struggles, poverty and drug problems still, and other issues. But it also feels like the only place on earth where time has stopped.
Wow.
That's what I felt. It's like... the indigenous population, the natural environment, the culture, food, and even the drinks that are so artisanal, where else in the world would you find that? So I think for me, Mexico is like a real magical land.
And I'm convinced after hearing you speak, I feel it has a bit of everything. It has culture, it has handicrafts, it has these amazing spirit, you know, which we spoke about, and the tequila city and beauty. So many things which, you know, which are power packed in this one little place. And like you said, despite all the drug problems and everything that it's famous for, it makes it unique, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely. And it should be a must, you know, city to visit for the country to visit for in everyone's bucket list.
And what do we say at the end of this episode?
Viva la Mexico! So thank you so much for tuning in to the Drinks and Destinations podcast, and we'll be back with another exciting episode next week. Until then, stay tuned and subscribe to us on iTunes and SoundCloud. You could also like our page on Facebook and Twitter, and you could follow us on Instagram. And just remember that while all of us love our tipple, make sure that you drink responsibly.
Bye.
Thank you.
Our podcasts bring all the boys to the yard, and damn right, they're better than yours. But you don't need to stand outside in the yard. Just follow IVM Podcasts on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We might be on Tinder too. Just go ahead and swipe right.